Well, tonight in the book of James, chapter 4, verse 8, I want to share a passage there, just a verse there in James chapter 4 and verse 8, where Scripture says, "Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you." Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. And then it says, "Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." But in that first phrase, tonight what I want to speak about is my God and I. What kind of a fellowship do you have with Jesus? If you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you've come to that place in your life where you realize that I'm a sinner and that I need the Savior. Knowing that Jesus died on the cross, Jesus shed His blood to cover all of the sins that I've ever committed, all of the sins that I will ever commit is covered by His blood. He was buried, He rose from the dead, He ascended into heaven, and He's coming again. And you reach out by faith to receive that gift of grace. You have a personal relationship with Him. But what kind of fellowship do you have with Him on a daily basis? How close to God are you? How close to God do you want to be? You see, we're as willing to be as close to God as the mention of His name. As the song says, you're as close as the mention of His name. James 4 tells us when we draw near to God, that God will draw near to us. That's both a precept as well as a promise there in God's word. And so the precept is you draw near to God. That's the precept. And the promise is God will draw near to you. So why must I draw near to God? First of all, in the book of Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13 says, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Now, in a world of technology that you and I live in today, people are running up and down the earth, just going in all different directions. But you see, in a world that you and I live in, we are drawn away from God with so many distractions in our lives. And if we are going to draw near to God, then we are going to have to spend some time, because God says, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me." Notice, when you search for me with all your heart. I want to talk this evening about developing a devotional life, connecting to God on a daily basis, on a consistent basis with the quiet time. Let me tell you, if you're married, God wants to be closer to you than you are your spouse. If you're single, God wants to be closer to you than your best friend. If you're a child, God wants to be closer to you even than your own parents. He wants all of us to have a closer walk with Him, just my God and I. So on the outline for tonight, take time in your walk with God. Take time in your walk with God. We ought to conscientiously, constantly be drawing near to God, and hopefully that we're doing that on a daily basis. Now, the Bible says to be still and know that I am God. And how can we be still and know if we are consistently on the move? Because you see, God is a jealous God. God said we are to love Him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. We are wholeheartedly, we are to passionately embrace that love of God and draw near to Him so that we can have this great time with Him. If you and I are going to walk with God, then we've got to take time for God. Let me tell you, there's nothing that the devil loves more than to take away or to steal those precious moments that we have with God. In fact, someone wrote this, "Dear Christian, when you're faced with a busy day, Save precious time by skipping your devotions. Sincerely, Satan. Think about that. Dear Christian, when you're faced with a busy day, save precious time by skipping your devotions. Well, the Bible tells us that Satan is a liar, doesn't it? Satan is a deceiver. Satan will do anything in his power. He will do everything in his power in order to use anything against us and to take away precious time that we need with him. In fact, someone penned these words, not the 23rd Psalm, but they entitled it the 23rd Channel. Now, when I read this, I could not help but think you could substitute in there Facebook. I mean, we're all familiar with Facebook, aren't we? Or Twitter or Instagram or some of these things. Someone penned these words, the TV set is my shepherd. My spiritual growth shall want. It makes me sit down and do nothing for his name's sake because it requires all of my spare time. It keeps me from doing my duty as a Christian because it presents so many good shows that I must see. It restores my knowledge of the things of the world, and it keeps me from the study of God's word. It leads me in the paths of failing to attend the evening worship services and doing nothing for the kingdom of God. Yea, though I live to be 100, I shall keep on watching my TV as long as it will work, for it's my closest companion. Its sounds and its pictures, they comfort me. It presents entertainment before me and keeps me from doing important things with my family. It fills my head with ideas which differ from those set forth in the Word of God. Surely no good thing will come of my life because me and my TV, it offers no good time to do the will of God. Thus, I will dwell in spiritual poverty all the days of my life. Think about that tonight. Things that keep us from having a closer walk with thee. We sing that old song, A Closer Walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Walking daily close to thee, let it be. Let it be. Now, I'm not trying to imply tonight that you can't watch television or that you can't be on Instagram or that you can't be on Twitter or that you can't be on Facebook. I'm not implying that whatsoever. But what I am implying is the fact that we must take caution that Satan don't use those things in order to draw us away from this wonderful relationship, this wonderful fellowship that he wants to have with each one of us. You see, to be able to set aside a certain amount of time each day. In fact, David said in Psalm chapter 5, verse 3, my voice you shall hear when, David said, in the morning, O Lord, in the morning I will direct it to you and I will look up. Now, I don't know what time, pardon me, your quiet time is with Jesus, but I do know this. If you have it in the morning, you'll be prepared for the day. You'll be prepared for all the things that happen to you and come against you because you will have this renewed fellowship with the Lord Jesus, and he will give you the grace and the strength to face the day. Let me tell you, in the Old Testament, we see how the David used that because it was so important to him to be in touch with God. And so tonight, take time for Jesus. Jesus took time to invade your world one day when he stepped out of the ivory palaces of heaven's glory to come into the world and to reconcile you and me to a holy God. Tim, I appreciated your call when you sent me a voicemail the other day over the television to tell me when you met Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. I think you were plowing alfalfa hay in Kentucky. And then Tim said, then when Jesus called him to preach, I think you were you milking the cows in the dairy barn? And let me tell you, it's important to go back to that time, to go back to that place. Tim left me a message on my phone that said, thanks for the sermon tonight. It reminded me, it took me back to that time where I first met Jesus and had that personal relationship that has brought me to this place in my life. Take time for the Lord. Let me tell you, you and I live in a busy world. We live in a crazy world. We live in a mixed up world. We live in a confused world. And the reason that the world is so confused is because the world as at large does not know Jesus Christ as its personal Lord and Savior. And so people are running to and fro, busy with life. And those of us that have a personal relationship with Jesus, we need to be reminded every day that that consistency of that fellowship with Him is so vitally important. Secondly, for tonight, take tools as you walk with the Lord. What I mean by take tools when you walk with the Lord, well, you need a Bible. By the way, I lost a New American Standard Bible maybe this past week. If anybody finds it, doesn't have my name on it, it's not marked up, it's one I use for reference. It's about that thick, has big print. So if you find it, please tell me. Otherwise, I'll have to buy another one because I love that Bible. But let me tell you, take tools with you. Take a Bible. Take your Bible. Let me tell you, if a soldier goes to war, what does he take? He's got to take his weaponry, doesn't he? Well, if you and I are going to take time for Jesus, we've got to take the Bible. We've got to take the sword. We've got to take that with us and be serious about it. Take a notebook with you to your quiet time. God might want to share something with you that you need to write down as you look at the scripture. What is the precept here for me today? What is the promise here for me today? Take your prayer list. Take your prayer list. How many of us have a prayer list? We're praying for something specifically. We're praying for somebody specifically. Beth, I see you back there tonight, and I certainly want us to pray for Beth's family. Beth lost a brother-in-law, Neil Blakemore. We call his name every Wednesday night. Please pray for Louise during this time. We want to pray for their family and the loss of her precious husband, Beth's brother-in-law, Mike's uncle over there, Mike Pruitt's uncle. Let me tell you, praying for people, all kinds of people out there that needs prayer for. Eddie Byford comes home after 21 days at Oklahoma Heart Hospital tomorrow. He'll go to Elks Crossing for 2 or 3 months, probably, for rehab time. You'll never know what it means to pray for these people. They desperately need it. Charles Turner, one of our retired policemen at Select Hospital in Oklahoma City in rehab. He and Louise covet your prayers during this time in their life. Those that are having surgery tomorrow, we want to remember them. But folks, let me tell you, we also need to concentrate heavily in our prayer list on people that we know that are lost, people that need a connection, people that need a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus. You see, that's when Jesus ascended back into the heavens. He said, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Peter said, men everywhere ought to what? Repent. And so if prayer changes things, and if prayer is important in our life, then one of the things you and I need to pray for are lost people. There are so many people out there in the world tonight that need prayer. As you read the scripture in your prayer time, ask yourself the question, Lord, Holy Spirit, as you lead me into all truth this day, help me to see something in your word that becomes a precious precept, that becomes a precious promise on which I can stand today. You see, when God speaks to your heart through that scripture, then write it down in your notebook. If you and I want to draw near to God, then we've got to want to spend time with him on a daily basis. The scripture is so vitally important. I shared with you, I think, last Wednesday evening. I know I did. I did my Sunday school class this morning, and I may have alluded to it last Sunday evening. But 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, all scripture. It doesn't say pick and choose which scripture. It says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training. Notice in righteousness. You see, all scripture. It's the inspired word of God. It's the inerrant word of God. I believe that the Bible is the standard by which the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. I believe this is the standard for truth. Jesus said, you want to know the way to heaven? Jesus said, I'm the way to heaven. Now let me tell you, with 1,800 cults out there in the world today, with 2,500 religions out there in the world today, what separates Christianity from all of those? Most of those religions say, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this, and you can be saved. It's a works thing. Christianity says it's a personal relationship by grace through faith, sola fide, through faith alone. And so what separates Christianity from the rest of the religions out there in the world? You see, I believe this is the standard by which God has given you and me to live. It tells us what's right. It tells us what's wrong. But I shared with my class this morning in an article I read last week that came out on one of the main news reports that 66%, I believe it was more than half of Americans do not believe in an absolute truth. And that I believe it was 93% of the young people of America today, 93% do not believe in absolute truth. Is it any wonder why they're confused? Is it any wonder that anything goes? Is it any wonder that I believe they're in trouble? I believe they're in trouble. If there is no standard by which to live life, then everyone will do as they did in the Old Testament during the days of the judges. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. I read another article the other day that said we're living in a post-truth culture. A post-truth culture. Let me tell you, if you want to draw near to God, you must read the book. Let me tell you, in this book, oh, how the politicians, how the marriages, how the young people would find solutions to their problems for healing their hurts and for strengthening their weaknesses. You see, let me tell you, there has to be a standard, and I believe it's God's word. Thirdly, this tonight, if we're going to have this intimate fellowship time with Jesus, not only do we need to take the time out of our busy, hectic schedules for the walk, we need to take our Bibles with us, our notebooks with us, our pencils with us as the Holy Spirit speaks to us. But thirdly, we need to take time in the walk. Take talk in the walk. Now you say, what on earth are you talking about? Talking to God, speaking to God. How do you talk to God? How do you pray to God? Aren't you grateful that you don't have to come to God with any big, eloquent words? Aren't you thankful that you can just talk to God like your friend would be sitting beside you and you would be telling them a story and you would just be down to earth in the way you're talking with them? You see, God, he's our greatest friend. Let me tell you, he sticks closer than a brother. How do you talk to God? Let me tell you, whenever you read your Bible, you're inhaling spiritual oxygen. And when we pray and we confess our sins before God, we are exhaling this spiritual carbon dioxide. And both of those are important for a quiet time with the Lord. Let me tell you, if you and I stay between prayer and the Word of God, we will always be headed in the right direction. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7 says, when you pray, don't babble on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Let me tell you, I don't believe God hears a lot of prayers that people are praying. You go, oh, well, God hears everything. Of course, God hears it. But I'm speaking about the fact, does God really hear, listen to what we say? Because he is omniscient. That's one of his characteristics. He's all-knowing. He knows what's sincere. He knows what is not sincere. He knows when we are in touch and in tune with him. He knows when we're paying attention to him. I read a story the other day. I love this. A lot of our prayers remind me of President Theodore Roosevelt. Roosevelt was at a gala ball one night, and there were all these people coming up to Roosevelt, and they were greeting the president, and they were smiling, and, it was just the same thing repeatedly over and over, and Roosevelt said it was such a tired smiling that people were doing, and they were speaking with their mouths, but certainly not their heads and their hearts. And so Roosevelt got tired of shaking hands, knowing that people really weren't paying much attention to him. And so he decided that he would do something very outrageous. And so he was absolutely convinced nobody is listening to anything. They're just babbling words over and over. And so he thought, the next person that walks up to me, I'm going to say, I murdered my grandmother this morning. Several people walked up to Roosevelt and they said, I murdered my grandmother this morning. And he said, people would smile and they would shake their head and said, that is wonderful, lovely. And he said he got quite amused by that because he realized that he was right, that people really weren't paying attention to anything that he said. And then he said one of the diplomats that was there that night leaned over and whispered in Roosevelt's ear and said, Mr. President, if you did it, I'm sure she had it coming. Think about that the next time you walk up to somebody. I had to call somebody after church this morning. I was back in the back and people were coming out and I was talking about 10 people at one time and somebody was catching me out there under the portico and they were talking with me and, you know, I was distracted with this one and that one and you know, I got in my car and I started down the road and I thought, you know what, I don't think I ever finished that conversation. So I called up Keenan Jarrett. I said, Keenan, I'm so sorry. I was distracted by about 10 people at one time. He goes, oh, Brother Randy, that's okay. I didn't think anything about that. And I said, well, I'm glad you didn't, but I did. And then I thought about what Roosevelt said. And so sometimes if you're out there and people are coming up talking to you and you think they're just babbling and they're really not paying attention, just say, I murdered my grandmother this morning. And see what they come up and say to you. Don't you love that? Let me tell you, when you and I talk to God, we ought to talk to God like we would talk to a friend. Fourth and lastly this morning, take time for the walk. Take tools in the walk. Take your talking in the walk, just like you would talk to a friend. And lastly, take treasure. Take treasure from your walk with God. I love Psalm chapter 50, verse 23. It says, whoever offers praise glorifies me. Whoever offers praise, glorify me. You see, one of the chief ends of man is to glorify God. And that's what happens when you and I have a quiet time with the Almighty. Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." Do you have peace like a river tonight? We sing that song, "I have peace like a river, I have peace like a river. I have peace, love, joy like a river." The psalmist said in the 16th Psalm, verse 11, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Let me tell you, I want you to think with me this morning, this evening, about the technology that we have in the world. When you think about our personal computers, our laptops, the modems, the faxes, the DVDs, all of these things, do you think that Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, did Jesus use a fax machine? Was Jesus so caught up in the day that he used a modem, that he used a personal computer, that he was on his cell phone? Let me tell you, Jesus was focused in on the most important things in all of life. And it was to share the bread of life, not only physical sustenance in feeding the people, but it was that he was focused in on spiritual food. Let me tell you, there's a song that says, "My God and I go in the fields together. We walk, we talk as good friends should and do. We clasp our hands, our voices ring with laughter. My God and I walk through the meadows hue." Verse 2 says, "He tells me of the years that went before me when heavenly plans were made for me to be. When all was but a dream of dim conception to come to life, earth's verdant glory see." Verse 3, "My God and I will go for a together. We'll walk, we'll talk, we'll jest as good friends do. This earth will pass, and with it common trifles. But God and I will go unendingly." How is your quiet time and your relationship with the Almighty? Would you stand as we pray together tonight?